can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause my heart to tremble, remembered there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day mine eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. This weary world with all its toil and struggle,
I wish you'd stand together.
May take its toil of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the sky. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city.
Can you imagine?
Until the day.
Can you imagine?
My heart will go on singing.
Yes, it will. Hallelujah.
Until then,
hallelujah,
with joy I'll carry on. Until the day,
hallelujah,
mine eyes behold that city.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Until the day,
hallelujah,
God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day mine eyes behold the city.
Until the day
God calls.
Well, you know, I hate to cut that off. That's too good to stop. Hey, until the day God calls me home. I'm here. I'm here ready to do God's work until the hour is over. And a broadcast today. Hey, you know, we're touching the world. You know, last week was a call from Nairobi, Kenya. Nairobi, Kenya. Well, not a call, a text. And week by week, it's a different country. Week by week is here or there. Isn't that marvelous? Do you realize we're touching the world? You realize that? You hadn't seen nothing yet. We're about to have that latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, latter rain is biblical terms. Not my term. Biblical terms. Latter rain. Go to James 5:8. You'll find it. James 5:8. Jesus, the Bible says that God is long patient for the fruit of the earth and waiteth for that early and latter rain. That latter rain hasn't come, but it's coming. Hallelujah. It's coming. I'll talk to you in a little bit about the change of name of our fellowship, our minister's fellowship. We have a Bible holiness ministerial fellowship, and it's kind of come apart. Some of the people in it wanted something different, and so they organized it their own. But we're going to change our name, I think. And I'm looking at a possibility, and I'll share that with you later. And you may be a Pentecostal minister, or you may be Baptist and want to be associated with us as a prayer warrior. Yeah, we want everybody that knows Jesus to start praying for this latter rain outpouring. We don't want just a few people, not just Pentecostals or Baptists. I mean, everybody needs this mighty move of the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what I'm going to talk to you about today. You are must to see this. It is very, very important. Let me put it back up there. It's supposed to be how you go. Supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. Supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. And that's our subject. That's our subject. If you can know how much power is available to the church, and yet the church as a whole is powerless. It's just a little club of people. Maybe in some cases a big club of people, but they don't allow no Pentecostal demonstration. They don't want no moving of the Holy Ghost. They don't want to hear somebody speaking in the language of the Spirit, the mighty Holy Ghost. They don't want a message in tongues, interpretation. They don't even want, well, they may want some miracles because they're so desperate for them, but they aren't willing to pay the price for them. And so I'm going to talk to you today about those supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to talk to you about what it takes to move into the realm to where the supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost are manifest. We're going to go after a little bit to the book of Galatians, where the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Before there can be the gifts of the Spirit, there's got to be the fruit of the Spirit. That's just common sense. Nobody don't need a lot of Bible inspiration to understand that you can't have the gifts without having the fruit. I mean, that just makes common sense. And so the missing element in today's church is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's none of those. We're going to talk about them. There's three sections of them. One is for you, one is for your neighbor, and one is for God and the dealings in each of these categories. And you're going to like what you hear. I'm telling you, if you love the Bible, you're going to like what you hear. But let's start by talking about the supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, notice that word gifts. That word gifts, that means this is something that the Holy Spirit gives to a believer, gives to a saint of God. They don't belong to the saint. They always belong to the Holy Spirit. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't give you the gift. He gives you the manifestation of the gift. He allows the gift to be manifest in you. He allows the gift to operate in you. But you never can possess it. You never can say, I own it. And you can't use it as you please and when you get ready. It is when the anointing comes upon you that the gift is operated in you. And without the anointing, there is no operation of the gift. And without the fruit, there's no anointing. Without the fruit, there's no anointing. If you don't have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance in your life, those are named in Galatians 5:22-23. Notice now, they're named in Galatians 5:22-23. And they are, again, I named them love and joy and peace, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Now, it's not hard to see, and I'm amazed that I didn't see it for so long. The Holy Spirit woke me up to it a few weeks ago in that sanctuary one morning, about 6 o'clock or 6:30, something like that, as I was waiting on the Lord and crying out to God. And suddenly I saw that love, joy, peace. That's what God does in me. That's for me. That's God's work in my life. That's God's fruit in my life. And then long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. That's God's fruit in me toward other people. How I treat other people. How I treat the contrary man or woman. How I treat the ugly man or woman. How I treat anybody and everybody, regardless of circumstance. God expects you to act right. I don't care if you're in the middle of the ugliest saint on the face of this earth. You're supposed to act right. You're a saint of God, if you are a saint of God. And so, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, that's how I treat everybody. And then faith and meekness and temperance, that's my relationship with God. That's the fruit of God manifest in me that turns right around and makes me available to Him. It's wonderful. And this doesn't come up, it comes down. It's not something you produce, it's something the Holy Spirit produces in you. And you got to understand all that. And it's very simple, and it's very powerful, and it's very beautiful. And we Pentecostals have missed it so bad, it breaks my heart when I think about it sometimes. And I'm guilty. I'm not putting them in a different category than me. I'm just hungry for God to do what God wants to do and has always wanted to do among the Pentecostals. Now go to Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. I want you to notice this powerful verse. This is a statement of promise from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, directly to His disciples just before He ascended up into the sky and went back to the Father. Just before. I mean, the same within minutes, maybe, of one another. At most, 30 minutes, say, of one another. And listen to it. But ye shall receive power. That word is dunamis, dynamite. You shall receive dunamis after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall receive dunamis. You shall receive dynamite. Say it with me, would you? Dynamite. Dunamis means dynamite. You shall receive dunamis after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses unto me. That's Jesus. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria. And notice, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now someone is calling. Are you calling Open Bible Dialogue? No, you're not. Okay, I'm sorry you called the radio broadcast. All right, that's okay. I want to be able to take broad calls, and so I'll have to put up with it if I get a sales call. You know how they are. They come and go, and they are overwhelming. But here we are, and I've got it fixed today where I can take telephone calls, okay? And if I come on the line, you got to speak up, or I'll simply cut it off because I get so many of these sales calls and these robot calls. Oh man, they are infuriating to me. They really are. But listen, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Samaria. Jerusalem and in Judah. And then Samaria, you know that. If you want to understand geographically, that meant their city, that meant their country, and that meant the countries around their country. That's what it means. Samaria was not a part of Israel, but it was close to Israel. Judah was part of Israel, what Israel is. So you had the city of Jerusalem, that's their own city. You had the country around them, their own neighbors and their kinfolks and all the folks that live in their country. And then you had the neighbors in other countries. And that's still true today. To the uttermost parts of the earth was the closing words of this great command by Jesus Christ. Not just a command, but a promise. Ye shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, church, listen to me. God never meant for His church to be a picnic. It's not just a bunch of saints coming together and kind of enjoying one another and enjoying God a little bit and hear a little bit of the Bible. Oh, that's good. It has a starting point. But the church is an institution of evangelism. The church is a witnessing operation. The church is an institution that is to touch the world. The reason I'm sitting right here, right now, and talking to Kenya, and talking to the Philippine Islands, and talking to people in Europe, and talking to people in Australia. I often hear from Australia, people in New Zealand, any of those countries, is because I believe this command of Jesus Christ, that I am to be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You won't believe through the years how many times members have come to me and said, Brother Chambers, will you quit trying to save the world and just save us? Will you quit trying to reach the world and just be a good pastor? Just be a good pastor, Brother Chambers, and quit. Oh, you know, I've had that said to me, and I said, I'm sorry. That's not what God called me to do. Yes, I'm a pastor. I love being a pastor. I'm a good pastor. I'm a dedicated pastor. I know you'll hear differently, but I know what my conscience says to me, and I know how I've obeyed him to the best of my ability. I'm imperfect, way imperfect, but I'm telling you, I'm a good pastor, but I'm also reaching for Australia. I'm also reaching for New Zealand. I'm reaching for Africa. I'm reaching for the Philippine Islands. I'm reaching for South America. There's just no end to what I want to reach for, because I am to be busy for the Lord. And he said it, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now get your Bible out and go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Just before Jesus ascended back to heaven, his last command and promise was power and be a witness. Power and be a witness. Power and be a witness. That was his command. And I got to obey it. And I'm telling you, you ought to be obeying it. Now, he said, ye shall receive power. Power. What is power? Power in the kingdom of God is the ability to effect the things that the kingdom is all about. Power in the church is the ability to reach the lost. It's the ability to help Christians grow and mature. It's the ability to lead people to deeper and higher experiences in the Lord and help them grow up and not just be a baby for 40 years. The church is full of babies that have never got beyond their babyhood. The Bible says, grow up, become men. The Bible tells you, you are to become a man, and you ought to be a baby forever. He spoke of them as people that could only drink milk, couldn't handle any meat. What do you mean by you can only drink milk and can't handle any meat? It's because they were babies. All they could take was those simple things. Jesus loves you. You know, Jesus cares about you. Jesus is coming again. Little simple, beautiful, but simple things. He said, come on, grow up. Get deeper in the things of God and become a mature person that God can use. Well, let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Apostle Paul is the man that God used to make clear to the church what was available to them in power. This is the power available to the church. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. You'll find in Acts 2 that I just came from Acts 1. But Acts 2, he said, but the promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What was he talking about? The anointing of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, that Pentecostal power that Peter was standing up talking about in Acts chapter 2. So, you are not excused, my friend, but you are invited and you are even commanded to become a man or woman of spiritual power that God can use you in the business of the kingdom, that God can make a blessing out of you, that God can make a blessing out of you. Now look at this. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Now what did he say? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, here's Paul talking about the same thing. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, Or he could have said spiritual powers. But he calls it gifts because they come as gifts. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Are you ignorant of the gifts of the Holy Ghost? Well, Paul said he didn't want you to be. I would not have you ignorant. He wanted you to grow up. He wanted you to act like a lady, a man, become a mature person. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. I mean, he's putting it where the rubber meets the road. He says, if you want to talk about Jesus and be a real witness and tell the world that he's the Lord of your life, you need the Holy Ghost to do it. It is the Holy Ghost in you that makes these proclamations of your faith. It's the Holy Ghost in you that allows and sends forth the testimony of his wonderful power and wonderful presence. Now there are diversities, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts. Diversity of gifts. Notice that. There are many different gifts. He's going to name them in a minute. Many different gifts, but the same Spirit. All of these nine gifts come from the same Holy Ghost, by the same Holy Spirit. You say, I like the term Holy Spirit. Well, call him the Holy Spirit. That's his name. You know why I call him the Holy Ghost? It's because the ghost means represents someone else. I call him the Holy Ghost because he represents Jesus. He came to make Jesus real. And we call him the Holy Ghost because he came to represent another, which is only Christ and cannot be anyone but the Christ. Now, diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of gifts, of operations, but it's the same God, which worketh all in all. Isn't it beautiful? In three verses, he names the Holy Spirit, he names the Lord Jesus, and he names God the Father, the architect. God is the architect. I'm telling you, everything about the Bible and about you and me, about this universe and about God's revelations, God's the architect. But Jesus is the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost is the revelation of God. And you can write that down, friend. God the Father is the architect of everything. Everything. Nothing exists that God didn't architect. God didn't put together. And then Jesus is the Word that makes it all happen. He speaks every time in the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. When the Word's spoken, it's the Word that speaks it. And Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, John said. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's John 1:1. So, friend, you got to understand. You got to understand. That Jesus is indeed the Lord, and God the Father is indeed the Heavenly Father, and God the Holy Ghost is indeed the Revelator. And here it is. Here it is. Now listen. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given. This is verse 5. I'm sorry, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, I don't care whether you're a Methodist, a Baptist, a Pentecostal. It don't matter to me the name you have attached to you as far as your religious associations. I'm here to tell you that God gave the Holy Spirit gifts to operate in your life. And if you're not allowing that in your life, you are not fulfilling the will of God. It may even question whether you're saved or not. In many cases, it really does. But I'm not here to argue about your salvation. I'm here to show you that God gave these supernatural gifts to all of his saints, that they may be powerful and anointed, and that they might affect their communities and their neighbors and their working friends and their sons and daughters and their brothers and sisters. He said these gifts of the Spirit are given to every man to profit with all. Oh, man, that's powerful. Are you listening to Brother Chambers? Let me read that verse 7 again. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. But the manifestation of the gifts is the manifestation. Or as I said a while ago, you don't get the gift. You get the manifestation of the gift. One day, the gift of healing may operate in you. Tomorrow, it may be the gift of wisdom that operates in you. The next week, it may be the gift of faith that operates in you. I can go through my life and name times when all 9 of the gifts have been effectively operated in my life. And I don't deserve any credit for that. That's my responsibility. I'm as common as dirt, you know. I'm just a down to earth Christian that loves this Bible. And I'm telling you, the manifestation of the gifts is given to every man to profit with all. Do you hear me? I almost scream at you. Listen to me, to profit with all. The manifestation of the gifts are given to every one of you. If you're saved by the blood, if you've been washed in the crimson flow of Calvary's wonderful, wonderful grace, if you've been made a new person in the Lord Jesus and you're born again, then you are to be used of God's Holy Spirit. But He can't use you until the Holy Spirit becomes the master of you. There was a great Baptist preacher. I really did love that man. I never met him, but oh, did I love his preaching. Stephen Alford. He said, when I got saved, I had the Holy Spirit. But when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, He had me. Notice that. When I got saved, I had the Holy Spirit. But after I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, He had me. And that's good stuff. That's right on the line, brother. When you get saved, you have to, the only way you can be saved is by the Holy Spirit. So you have to have the Holy Spirit when you're saved. But He doesn't have you yet. You're just a new creature. You got to mature. You got to grow up. You got to become usable. You got to live in your Bible. You got to spend much time in prayer. You don't become a giant Christian overnight. It takes a wonderful time of deep devotion and deep study. Man, I got saved. I was this little country boy. All I knew how to do was plow old Pete, my mule. The mule that Daddy gave me to plow. And it was he was a mess. I won't tell you the things about my old mule, but that's what I did. And I was a school dropout. I didn't have enough education to read no kind of a book. But God saved me and immediately called me into the ministry. And then I had to learn how to read with the Bible. I learned to read with the Bible. Can you believe that? I couldn't read a lick when I got saved. But they gave me a Bible and said, read it. I said, I can't read. They said, well, learn to read. The Holy Ghost will teach you. Would you believe the Holy Ghost taught me to read the Bible? The Holy Ghost taught me to read the Bible. You say, Brother Chambers, I'm saying, Brother you, whoever you are, He'll teach you just like He taught me. Now let's go on to verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, by the same Spirit, the words of knowledge. Are you listening to that? Words of knowledge. To another, faith. Faith. There's a gift of faith. I mean, there's a faith that grows in you as you read your Bible, as you seek the face of God. It gets good, stronger and stronger. But there's a supernatural faith. I remember one time I was called to the Mercy Hospital in Asheville. A little girl had had a bad attack the night before of asthma and almost died. And I didn't know them. They didn't come to our church, but they knew about me as a pastor there, and they called me to go pray for their daughter. I walked into that hospital, knowing nobody and nothing, found her room, went in, and there she lay, just a frail little lady, frail little girl, and I laid my hands on her, and the Holy Ghost came on me. It was one of the sweetest times of my life. The Holy Ghost just came on me. I mean, He just took hold of me, and He manifests His faith in me, not mine, His. I didn't know this was going to happen. I was just a servant of God, seeking the Lord's will in my life, trying to be a blessing everywhere I could. And I walk in and lay my hands on that little girl, and she's instantly healed. I mean, she was healed. That was all there was to it. She was healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, the gift of healing came on me. No, the gift of faith in this case. The gift, maybe it was the gift of healing. They both are there. Could have been both of them together. Who knows? To another, the gift of faith by the same Spirit. Now listen. To another, the gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. by the same Spirit. Maybe it was both faith and healing. Who knows? Who cares? As long as God had his way and she got what she needed. It wasn't me. I wasn't some super duper dude. I was just a little pastor. How old was I? 25, 26 maybe? Something like 25, 26. And God just used his wonderful Spirit to work. No, it was over that. It was about 30, because I'd been in Rockville 5.5 years, and I'd been in Tabor City a year and a half, so 7 years on 20. I was about 28. And God's just good like that. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost does. Now, you don't get that just fooling around and hanging out at Walmart. You don't get that just finding a friend somewhere and always drinking coffee and eating donuts and goofing around. No, you don't get it that way. You get it because you take time to get alone with God and you pray. You pray. You seek the face of God. You learn how to be a prayer warrior. If you can't pray 2 hours a day, you're probably not worth a hoot to God. And you notice what I said, and I mean every word of it. If you can't pray 2 hours a day, you're probably not worth a hoot to God. I mean, you do not have this kind of anointing unless you are a prayer warrior. It just isn't going to happen. Are you listening to me? I've never seen it happen, and I've been around 68 years now as a born-again Christian. And I see so many religious people, and pastors are always saying to me, why are we not having any miracles? And I look at them, and I always can say, you're the reason. You're the fault. It's you. How much do you pray every day? How much time do you spend alone with God? God moves on men and women who hide themselves with him in prayer. God moves on men and women who get alone with him and grow up spiritually. One scripture in Jude says, praying in the, building up yourselves. This is Jude, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I mean, when the Holy Ghost comes on you every day and you pray an hour or two and the Spirit of God anoints you to pray and you pray. I heard a big time preacher saying some time ago, ain't no such thing as praying through. You know what he is? He's a Calvinist. I can tell by that statement. He don't believe God manifests himself. He just believe you just act religious and that's all it takes. I'm here to tell you, I'm on a different link. I'm on a different link. I'm telling you, I'm on a different link. Okay. And so I'm telling you that God wants to reveal himself. Now it's already 1:30. Almost, maybe a minute away. And I want to open the lines. I can hear the phone. I fixed it so I could. And I didn't know I could do that. After all these years, I'm still learning. Did you know that? I don't ever intend to quit learning. Do you hear me? I don't ever. So I can hear that phone when it rings. And so if you have a question about this, I would like to hear some questions. I would like to hear some questions because this is so powerful. I thought I was going to go to a bunch of scriptures today, but it don't look like it. To another by the same Spirit, the gifts of healing. And to another, the working of miracles. Now, notice, he has a gift of healing and a gift of working of miracles. Well, it's easy to understand that. A miracle would not just be healing. Healing is when you're sick. A miracle could be when you got one leg shorter than the other. There's been a lot of people who had a leg shorter than the other, and God would heal them, and both legs would then be perfectly the same. I mean, there have been many times when the dead have been raised in the church of yesteryear, when it was on fire, when it was full of the Holy Ghost, when men of God spent a couple, 3 hours a day on their faces, when they prayed and sought the face of God, when they were more than book learning. You know, you can go to a religious school today and learn all the theology you can imagine, and you can quote it better than me. And yet not be worth a hoot for God, because you don't have power. You don't have anointing. You haven't been alone with God. You have been waiting before the Holy Ghost. You've got to learn to pray, friend. This great awakening that's coming is coming on men and women who've learned to pray. It isn't going to come on people who haven't learned to pray, who haven't learned to get alone with God and seek his face. It isn't going to come on you. It's just not going to happen. And I know that because I know the Bible. And that's all I care about. Let me read on. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Now, what is prophecy? You remember You remember 3 years ago when for 10 years I told you that Hillary Clinton would never be the president? You remember that? That was a prophecy. The Holy Ghost had spoke to me and said that Hillary Clinton would never be the president. And I told you all during the election 3 years ago, all during the election, she will not win. And the day the vote took place, they had her winning. And I'm here on my knees in the sanctuary saying, God, God, they got her winning. But you told me she's not going to win. Are you going to hang me out and dry? That's what I asked God, right on my knees in there. God, are you going to hang me out to dry? And he spoke to me as clear as I've ever heard. Not big audible words, but just don't worry, son. It's okay. I got it in my hands. And the moment I felt this, I got up off my knees and went home and got in my soft chair with my radio on and listened to her lose. Now, for a while, she was winning. Oh, well, maybe an hour or two. It looked like, oh, man, she's taking it. But all of a sudden, that thing began to turn. And of course, I knew it was going to, because he had spoke to me again, and I knew it was okay. See, that's prophecy. To another, the gift of prophecy. To another, the gift of prophecy. God's still in the business of giving prophecies. He really is. And you don't have to worry. When he speaks, it will happen. Just like God said it would happen. To another, the gift of prophecy. Now listen now, let's go on. To another, discerning of spirits. You know, there's a lot of false doctrine out there. You remember all those videos I did on Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn? Notice that every one of them has come to pass, and they are off the scene. I mean, I guess they're still somewhere bunkering in and doing a little something. I don't know what they're doing, but I can tell you one thing. All that great empire of the charismatic movement died on its own accord because it was as false can be. There was good people that got caught up in it. Many of them have got out of it. Thank God for that. Many of them are still in there probably. I don't know what's going on right now, but I know the gift of prophecy and discerning of spirits, another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, those are nine gifts. Let's name them. The gift of words of wisdom, the gift of words of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, the gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Nine gifts. They are all supernatural. When they work, they are supernatural. A person may give a message in tongues, and someone else give an interpretation. Sometimes the same person. I've heard a lot of that when it was sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Then I've heard a lot of it that was real. And see, just like all the gifts, there are a lot of people who want to be a person who is noted for how God is manifest in them. And it's all their own pride and their own action. And it's horrible. And Paul took care of that in 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You say, I've heard so much sounding brass and tinkling cymbal that I don't want nothing to do with this. Well, you need to understand the sounding brass and tinkling cymbal don't eliminate anything. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Brother Chambers, Brother Tim Baggett, how are you?
Brother Baggett, are you listening to me?
I am.
Is this not powerful?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Hey, Brother Baggett, did you get my telephone call?
I did.
What do you think about that name?
I just gotten up. I didn't get any.
Let me tell you what the Lord laid on my heart. That we reorganize the Bible Holiness Ministerial Fellowship and call it the Latter Rain Pentecostals.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Does that not sound good? Now, what I want to do, I don't want to talk much about it on the radio, but I want you tomorrow. What time are you going to get up in the morning? Tomorrow's Sunday. Let me wait till Monday. What time are you going to get up Monday?
Oh, I'm up early every morning.
All right, I'll call you Monday morning because I want to get the names of as many preachers that would like to agree with us. And I want to send out a letter this week to everybody in my Holiness Fellowship list. And I want to set a date in camp meeting to reorganize our fellowship and give it this new name. Will you help me do that?
Amen, brother. Wonderful.
You know, and we'll move on. I love the idea you called me. I do, and I'm ready. I'm ready. And there are probably hundreds of Pentecostal preachers of many different directions who maybe would like to be part of us. And they don't have to join us. They can just be in fellowship with us.
Amen.
I love you.
Love you too, my brother. God bless you.
Did you preach as good last night as you did the night before?
Oh, no. Hey, I have enjoyed. Hey, brother, I do want to say the broadcast I've been listening since the beginning, and you're talking about the necessity of the fruit of the Spirit to obtain the gifts of the Spirit.
I'm fixing to get on that in just a minute.
Amen. Well, I want to tell you that is very powerful, brother, and I've been preaching that for years. Without the fruit of the Spirit, it is, it's not going to do you any good. You can't, without the nature of Christ.
That's it. The fruit of the Spirit is the nature of Christ.
That's right. Well, I appreciate you, Brother Chambers. Looking forward to continuing to hear your broadcast.
And let me tell everybody, this is the night speaker for camp meeting that begins 2 weeks from this coming Monday, the 29th of June. And everybody listening to me, you're going to be mightily disappointed if you don't make plans and get over here with us.
Well, God bless you, Brother Chambers. We're praying and fasting and believing God for a mighty outpouring of the
I know it, Brother Timothy, and tell that sweetheart family. You know, every time I speak to you, I always think about your family. There is nobody in the world that loves the Christian's family more than Brother Chambers. I just love a bunch of kids and a sweetheart man and his wife that all love one another and that love the things of Jesus together.
Amen. We love you as well, Brother Chambers.
Love you.
I'm blessed.
Bless you now. God bless you. God bless you. You know, it's such a joy to have a man like that who's part of you and in fellowship with you. And he's the night preacher for camp meeting beginning the 29th of June. And you don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. I am looking forward to it. And now remember, every one of you out there, every Pentecostal, do you believe in the coming latter rain? Well, most Pentecostals don't believe in the coming latter rain. They've got too far downhill in their spiritual death and their lukewarmness. And so they've lost this revelation, this sense of what the Bible says is about to happen. Well, Peter said it in Acts 2, verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Now, some people try to put that over in the millennium. You can't do that because you read those verses starting with 17 to about 21, and it makes it very clear that this will happen before the great and notable day of the Lord's come. It's got to happen before Jesus comes to set up his kingdom on this earth. Got to happen. And it's going to happen because God said it was going to happen. And so if you want to be part of a group that's going to be getting ready for that and praying and fasting and seeking God, you need to get a hold of us. We'll be getting some things out this week in the mail and we'll be saying some things about it. And you can plan right now to come to Paul Creek on June the 29th. We've got motels already scheduled up where you can get good prices from them. All you got to do is call this number and ask for the information sent to you. And my secretary, Wendy, will mail you a letter with the hotels and motels and their prices and their telephone numbers. And you can have them. And they also are on the internet, okay? On the internet, paulcreek.org. So we want you to be a part of camp meeting. And I want every preacher that wants to be part of this new fellowship called, and this name is up for grabs yet. I haven't come settled. I've got Brother Baggett praying. You just heard him. I'm going to call two or three others to pray, and we're going to decide together if that's the right name, the Latter Rain Pentecostals Fellowship. the Latter Rain Pentecostals Fellowship. Oh, I like that name. Woo! I felt the Holy Ghost gave it to me. And if he did, they will agree. They'll see it. They'll feel it just like I did. And that's what I want. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, I got to move over to what he just mentioned, because that's part of it. And I know I haven't had time to get very far. And that's the way it is when you're in this blessed old book. I want to go to Galatians. I want to talk to you about the fruit of the Spirit. If you want the gifts of the Holy Ghost in your life, you just put that on the table and get before your God, get your Bible, begin to pray, begin to fast. And the Bible said, but the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Holy Ghost, you understand? The Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lust, with the affections and lust. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Are you listening to me? You got to crucify this whole flesh. You say, I got saved. I don't crucify the flesh. This crucifying the flesh is the graces of the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in a born-again life. Is to help you grow up, put on the nature of Christ, put on the fullness of the body of Christ. I mean, grow up. Quit being a baby. Quit being a slouchy little young'un with no spiritual temperature and no spiritual commitment, and grow up in the Lord. And the Bible said he will then give you and manifest in you. See, this is what God does in you, the fruit of the Spirit. He does it. You don't do it. He does it. Don't come up. It comes down. Are you listening to me? And if you begin to seek God and you begin to hunger for a spiritual life, before you know it, love and joy and peace will get a hold of you. And you'll become such an adorable Christian. People will begin to see how different you act, how different you look. They'll see the peace in your life. They'll see the love you have for God and Christ and the church and the things of God. And see, love, joy, and peace is what God does in you, for you. It's God making himself real in your life. But then long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, that's God working in you to make you a blessing to others. Make you long-suffering to them and gentle to them and good to them. See, you need that to treat people around you with the right nature. How many Christians are so contrary? You say something to them they don't like, and they get bull-headed before you can snap a finger. And before you know it, they're all looking for another pastor. I have it all the time. I've had it for years. There are people who are so bull-headed and unkind and unthankful. I mean, just bull-headed. I think about the many I've watched that way and just never grown up in the fruit of the Spirit. So love, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness is my relationship to people around me. But then the third one is, I love this one, faith and meekness and temperance. And that's God building me up toward him, building me up in my relationship with him. See, these fruit of the Spirit will make you a vessel that then the Holy Ghost can use. And he can't use you until you have the fruit of the Spirit. He can't just pour the gifts of the Holy Ghost on you with your bullheadedness and your stubbornness and your hard-headed actions and attitude. No, he can't do a thing in you by the mighty work of the Holy Ghost until you get your temperature straightened out and your temperaments straightened out and your heart clean with love and kindness and merciful action. And see, this is why the gifts of the Holy Ghost are non-existent almost today. Almost non-existent. Because there's so little attention to living in the fruit of the Spirit. To living in a mature and growing, developing, tender, gentle, wonderful life. You can grow up, you know. Hey, the phone lines are open. I got it where I can hear it. Did you notice a while ago? Why hadn't I done that a long time? I didn't know. Woo! And you know, it's amazing. I'm 84 and still growing. And some of you, you need to grow so bad. I mean, I don't know anything in the church world that's so needed as Christians to grow up and Christians to become mature and have the nature of the Spirit. See, all of this is the nature of Jesus. The Holy Spirit manifests nothing but Jesus. When you talk about the fruit of the Spirit, you're talking about what the Holy Spirit does in you to make Jesus real in your life. What the Holy Ghost does in you to make Jesus real in your life, to make you a pure, godly saint of the living God. And it's so powerful. It really is. Now, Brother Chambers is really coming to you with a heart filled of concern today. I am so burdened for that Pentecostal outpouring, that mighty latter rain. And see, the latter rain can't come on a bunch of baby Christians. The latter rain can't fall on a bunch of contrary pastors. The latter rain can't come on men and women who don't have time to get alone and stay with God. I mean, if you don't know how to pray through, don't ever think the Holy Ghost is going to fall on you. It isn't. It'd be an accident if it did, and you wouldn't know what to do with it. You know, I'm telling you, God is looking for Pentecostals that will grow up and become usable. Would you like to have this supernatural power in your life? I'm not a Pentecostal. Well, get on your knees and pray. Get on your knees and pray. I was a Baptist when I came to the Pentecostal way. I never had been saved. I joined the church, but I'd never been saved. I mean, there are Baptist people who are saved, but I wasn't. And when I got saved, I mean, I fell in love with this Pentecostal way. I want everything in this book in my life. And it's wonderful to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The most powerful life on earth is a Holy Ghost-filled life. Now, I don't mean just a little miracle touch. I don't mean you got in the altar somewhere and you prayed until you got your tongue tangled up and you spoke a few incoherent words and somebody said, you got it. And you got up with it, with whatever you had, but it never did show up anything. I'm calling you to pray until the Holy Ghost sets upon you and you become a Holy Ghost-filled vessel. Do you love me? Hey, Brother Chambers, you're too strong and plain. What do you want? A wimp sitting here? I'm 84 years old. I'm not wimpy. I don't know how to be wimpy. All I know how to do is tell you what the truth is and say it in such terms that you can't misunderstand me because I say it too plain. You know that. And you know it's because I love you. I love every one of you. I want a Holy Ghost outpouring. I want a Holy Ghost outpouring. I want you to get settled in now for camp meeting. I really do. We're going to have distant. We're going to keep everything social distant. We're going to have pews marked all, every other pew. We're going to have something at the door to sanitize your hands when you come in. We're going to have the doors open so you don't have to touch them as you come through the doorways. Go in, sit down. We can seat 600 normally, so we can seat 300 at distant in. And that would be a wonderful crowd to have a camp meeting this year. And if we have more, maybe by then the distance in will be over. I don't know. I don't know how fast it's going to go. I know if it'll quit raining and have some real springtime, that'll make a world of difference because it's going to be all right. I mean, God, we haven't repented enough probably. Have you done any repenting? Have you been on your face asking God to forgive America for killing all these babies? What if God would require one adult for every baby we've slaughtered in abortion? Boy, we'd be in a mess. Would there be anybody left? I don't know whether there'd be anybody left or not. It's been millions and millions and millions of babies. Did you read last week what our governor in North Carolina did? The Republicans passed a bill that if a man aborted a baby and the baby was born alive, now he aborts the baby, he tries to kill the baby before it's born, but the baby's born alive. Then he is obligated, according to those Republicans in the bill they passed, to give that baby treatment and to give that baby medical attention and to do whatever that baby does to live. And the governor of North Carolina, Cooper by name, vetoed it. Did you hear what I just said? Vetoed it. My gracious, what a murderer he is. See, if you don't understand that, that's horrible. And forgive me for being so strong about it. But that alone absolutely eliminates his credibility to be the governor of North Carolina any other day after his term is complete. And I hope you don't forget that. And I hope you tell it to everybody you know. That's so horrible. It hurts my heart to the core. I got five great grands. I love the ground they walk on. Great day. Do I love those old scubas. I mean, I really love them. And to think that somebody would kill them before they're born just does my heart pain. Pain. Are you listening to me? I didn't mean to talk about that. I really didn't. But I'm crying out to you that you need these mighty gifts of the Holy Ghost. You need to get on your face and get a hold of God. Now, I do want to take you to 2 Corinthians, and I want to talk about you where the power is for this kind of praying. Did you know there's power to pull down these strongholds we're facing? Let's say the stronghold of this epidemic, this pandemic. Do you know enough people praying could pull it down and that virus would disappear off of the face of America? Why don't you join me in that? Let me read it to you. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You and I praying in the Holy Ghost can pull down the strongholds around us. We can pull down those dark powers of hell. We can pull down the powers of Governor Cooper in his control over North Carolina. We can pull down this idea of killing and leaving little babies that were born alive to die because mama didn't want them and the doctor didn't want them and the father of the baby didn't want them in most cases, I presume. Folks, you got to understand. We have power to pull down these strongholds, and I'm giving myself to that power, and I'm looking for Charlotte, North Carolina, to experience a Holy Ghost visitation. Friends, I'm telling you, it's coming. We're going to see thousands of people in this city gloriously saved. The Bible said your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. How many of you would like to have this outpouring until your son and your daughter would quit taking drugs and doing sex and quit living like they have no brain in them and get right with God in them? All that dirty living may be your fault if you raised them wrong. But I'm telling you, what if God would move now? And He's going to. Oh, revivals are coming. Revivals are coming. As sure as I'm sitting here, revivals on the way. Now, let me take these last little minutes for two or three calls. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Call quickly. Here's the number, 704-391-0588. You grab your phone and call. I got the phone fixed where I can hear it. I'm so glad I learned that this week. I actually learned it today. I was fooling around trying to figure out, now how can I fix this phone where I hear it when it rings? And I got it. And it will ring right in here. So call me, 704-391-0588. Call me quickly, would you? Whatever you want to ask about the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost, how you can become usable for God to use you, what it will take for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air.
Hello. My name is Nathaniel, and I really want to say that you're a blessed man of God.
Well, you're kind to say that. I'm doing my best to obey Him. I don't want any credit. I just want to please Him, because at 84, I'm heading home. I don't know when I'm going, but when the trump sounds or when He calls me, I'm out of here in a flash. And I love everything I do, and I've enjoyed it ever since I've been saved.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I really like reading my Bible now.
Do you? You've been saved.
Just do. I like reading my Bible more than I used to like reading it.
I am delighted, my sister. God bless your sweetheart. I love you.
All right.
I love you. Call me quickly now out there. Anybody out there can call. I'll be glad to answer. I'm going to keep that thing while I hear it ring. It's very simple. Man, you know, it's the simple things we learn as we get older. And I'm so glad. Anybody else would call? 704-391-0588. Call quickly. You have a question about the gifts of the Holy Ghost? You have a question about the fruit of the Spirit? Now, are you hearing me when I tell you, if you want God to use you in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, don't pray so much for the gifts right now. You pray first for God to fill you with the fruit and yield yourself up to Him. Believe the blood to cleanse you and crucify the old flesh. There are many things about the flesh that you can't change, but Jesus can change them. That's what the blood of Jesus is all about. That's what the grace of God's all about. It's taking a new person who's been saved and gradually and day by day helping them grow and mature, and the Holy Spirit working in there and cleaning out all of self. And all of your carnality and all of your fleshliness, sanctification is nothing but the death of you, the death of old self, the death of your own love of yourself and the replacement of that with love for Him. I mean, that's what God wants to do in your life. And He'll do it. Now, call quickly. I'd like to have a couple of calls. I got about 3 minutes here, 3 or 4. Let me make sure how much I got. Oh, I got 4, 3.5. Hey, call quickly. I want to minister to you. I want to help you. I want to help every one of you grow out there. Hey, can you be with me in church tomorrow? Oh, Paul Creek's going to have church tomorrow. I promise you, I'll preach the word of God with all my heart. We'll have lunch out in the cafeteria, and we have the best meal, and we have a social distancing. You'll come in the doors. You can wash your hands and sanitize them. Don't come in without it. Sanitize your hands under the entranceway. Come right on in. Get your seat. And notice that one every other pew is marked off and closed off, and we can set distancing. So we want your help. Now I want to say to everybody out there, we're having to spend a bunch of money on air conditioning. We spent $10,000 this week, and I got $10,000 more next week. I don't have it yet, and so I need some help. I need everybody who loves this program, whether you hear me on internet or whether you hear me by radio or whether you hear me by Facebook, to share your gifts with us. We got PayPal right on our website. That's paulcreek.org, right on paulcreek.org. There's a PayPal, and you can send a gift. You can share the burden. You can help me. I really need about $10,000 this week, really. That's what I need to come in this week. By radio and by this ministry. So help me. I'm not begging. I'm just telling you the need. And it's in God's hands. And He always has took care of me. He's always took care of me. We got a summer program now open. And so we have openings for several more children in our summer program. These are ages 2 through 2nd grade. And so if you need a place for your child, I know some of you not yet working. Some of you not yet quit working at home. And so we're here to help. We're here to be a blessing. And the school next year is going to be a great year. And you got to be a part of us. You've got to be a part of us. I really mean that. We want you a part of Paul Creek Christian Academy. The best school in Charlotte, as far as I'm concerned. And you know, I'm kind of selfish about it. But it is. We have the best teachers. Woo! They are so good. And all during this pandemic, they've done their job. We had a big program out in the yard with all the wards of all the students. And it was so exciting. It really was. Parking lot full of cars and mommies and daddies and probably grandpas and grandmas. And we did it from under the curtain here. And it was just a great moment. It really was. God's good. When you give Him your best, He gives His best. Hey, I love you. Hey, I love you. Don't forget camp meeting 2 weeks away from Monday. You don't want to miss it. Monday night, that Timothy Baggett, what a preacher. Oh, and then in the morning, starting Tuesday at 9:30, we got a preacher, then a Bible lesson at 11, and lunch, free lunch on the ground. Free, not on the ground, in the cafeteria. Free lunch Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and free lunch every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, after the evening service. After the altar service. So don't miss it. I said don't miss it. We want you part of us. We want to be a blessing to you. You can be a blessing to us. I promise you, we care about you. We really do care about you. We care about your life. We want to be a blessing to you. We want to help you grow in the Lord.
Pointing souls to Calvary.
Listen, Jesus is wonderful. Do you know that? Jesus is wonderful. He loves you. He's reaching for you. Don't miss tomorrow, and don't miss camp meeting 2 weeks away, and don't miss our program for summer.
To see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace, and on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, with cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads where every tide. And oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, with cares I'll pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me, I can see as I onward go. And oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, oh, there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, with cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep. And He genes legitly on through this world below, He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. And oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, oh, there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the